And take your Bibles, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, I'm going to just read verse 21 through verse 33. And we're going to give, as I said, just a quick review this morning. And then we'll get into the message this morning. We're going to be looking at two other portions of scriptures as well this morning. So I trust that you don't have any food in the oven for Mother's Day, because we're looking at a three-hour message this morning. No, just kidding. Just kidding. And if you leave early, I'll point you out. No, just kidding. I won't do that. But no, it won't be a long message. But I want your attention this morning, because we're going to be looking at some thoughts that I think could be very helpful to each of us, no matter if we're a man, a female, if we're a boy, we're a girl, we're a mother, we're a father. Because some of the principles we're going to look at, we understand in the context who it's to, but application can be made in many different areas. And I believe as we look at this portion of Scripture, we need to glean the truths that we need in our lives, in the stage we're in our lives, wherever we're at. Now, this whole year, we started the first Sunday of this year looking at our walk. Remember, Paul said, I beseech you, brother. And he begged with this church. He pleaded with this church. He said, my beloved, I want you to see out of love. I want you to see out of love what I want you as individuals and you as a church, how I want you to live. And we went through the worthy of a vocation and all those areas that we've been looking at each Sunday. And then as we came to this portion of Scripture the last few weeks, we talked about being filled with the Spirit of God. Being filled with the Spirit of God, what it looks like. And then it went in, if you're filled with the Spirit of God, you're going to do what we looked at verse 21. Let's look at verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband and as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband in everything. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are the members of his body and of his bones. For this cause shall man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. There is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. Speak to hearts, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Filled with the Spirit leads to verse 21 of submitting one to another. We talked about submission last week. We talked about what that means. That means responding in the right way. It does not mean, and we're not going to repeat everything. If you missed last week, please, you can go on Facebook, you can go on our website, and you can listen to the message. Let me encourage you to listen to the message. Because we have a wrong view of submission in our day and age. We said that last week. And submission is this idea of responding in the right way. We're to respond in the right way one to another, and wives is to respond in the right way to the husband. And that doesn't mean a dictator, doesn't mean all the things we covered last week. And if you're filled with the Spirit of God, you're going to respond the way you ought to respond. You're going to act the way you need to act. Because the whole purpose that Paul was talking here to the church was to have unity in the church. And by having a family with unity will cause unity within the walls of the church. By having unity between the husband and wife, by having the right type of spirit. And remember, submission is not just to the wife, to the husband, it was to one another. And then it was also carrying the idea of the servant, to the master, and it's the children to the parents, and it's pushed throughout that everyone ought to respond and act the way they're supposed to act. Now coming into this, we come into a verse here that many people start to struggle with once again. And as we look at this, I want us to glean some of the truths that we need to glean in regards to what the husband is supposed to do. But because this is such a heavy subject, before we get too far into this, I have some Dave humor I like to share. And this will give some idea, some thoughts, even as we get into this a little bit there. At Sunday school, they were teaching how God created everything, including human beings. Little Johnny, a child in kindergarten class, seemed especially intent when they told him how Eve was created out of one of Adam's ribs. Later in the week, his mother noticed him lying down as though he was ill and said, "Johnny, what's the matter?" He says, "My side hurts." And says, "Why do you think it hurts?" And Johnny said, "I don't really feel well. I think I'm having a wife." All right, you got that one. All right. A husband read an article to his wife about how women uses 30,000 words a day to a man's 15,000. The wife replied, "That's because we have to repeat everything to men." The husband turned to his wife and said, "What?" The pastor and his wife knew that they had made a mistake by agreeing to counsel with Mrs. Smith when she opened their first session by saying, "I want to thank you for seeing me, especially since my husband said he'll kill anybody that I talk to." I think so. After bringing their first baby home from the hospital, the wife suggested to her husband that he try his hand at changing diapers. "I'm busy," he said. "I'll do the next one." The next time the baby was wet, she asked if he was ready to learn how to change diapers. He gave her a puzzled look, then said finally, "I didn't mean the next diaper, I meant the next baby." In 2005, the Guinness Book of World Records said that Percy and Florence Aerosmith held two records: the longest marriage of a living couple, 80 years, and having the largest combined age of 205 years. Both Mr. and Mrs. Aerosmith have since died, but they left good advice for those who want to have a lasting marriage. Florence said, "You must never go to sleep bad friends. If you have a quarrel, you make it up. Never be afraid to say sorry." Her husband had a slightly more humorous advice. He said the secret to his long marriage was just two words: "Yes, dear." We have some humor in regards to this because this is an area of marriage where many people struggle with. And this is why it's addressed here. We looked at the Colossians last week. We looked at 1 Peter. We looked at several portions of Scripture. And this is an area that many struggle with. Struggle with what proper submission is. Also struggle with what a husband ought to do. It's not just for those that are married. It is for those that may be getting married and what they ought to be looking for. And I want to point out something else as we look at this morning. Marriage is not something you put together. Biblical marriage is what God puts together. What God put together, let no man put asunder. For this cause, verse 31, shall man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife. God does the joining. God does the bringing together. The problem we have in our world today, and the problem there's disunity today, is human beings put their marriage together. They join themselves to someone that they fall in love with, someone that they are physically attracted to, someone they're that, and that God has not put it together. I'll say this, if God has put you together, God's going to put you together, someone that lines up with his word. Someone that is on that same page. Now, again, some have not married who they're supposed to. We've talked about that a little last week. Some have been in relationships they should not have been in. Some of that. So does it mean there's no hope? No. It means you got to take some work. You got to put some things in. And you got to realize there's things you got to change. And you got to start doing. And you got to start praying and living the way God wants you to live in your marriage. Look with me in verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the savior of the body. Did you know that God's not a dictator? See, the example of the husband is an example of Christ. What does Christ do? Christ sets the example. As Christ is the savior of the church, as Christ is the leader of the church, as Christ is the head of the church, the man is to be the head of the home. Did you get that? I want us to see that this morning. Because I believe there's a misconception in regards to the husband being the head. Now, we talked a little bit last week in regards to the wife supposed to be submit and how that is supposed to look, of responding in the right way. But I want us to understand what it means that the husband is the head of the home. The husband is the head. Christ is the head of the church. But Christ does not dictate. Christ gives us the example. He gives us his word, and we're to follow his example. See, this is written to believers. This is written to a Christian home. This is written to those that are changing. You see, in this day and age, there was a wrong view of the home in that day and age. Now, kids, I'll hit this probably next week when we talk about kids. But did you know kids and families and wives were treated differently by the pagans of that day? There was a law in that day. If the husband, who was the head of the home, didn't like what you were doing, they could put you out of the home. Did you know they could make you a slave? They could even kill you if they wanted to. It was their right as the head of the home. And so with that thought in mind, this is why Paul's addressing this to these individuals, saying, yes, you're the head of the home, just as Christ is the head of the church and the savior of the church. You're to be this way in the home. You're not to be like this. You're not to put your family out. You're not to have your family killed. You're not to have your children killed. You're not to make them a slave. You're not to do those things. This is what you're supposed to be doing. So what is this idea of the head of a home? What is this idea of following Christ's example? He goes on and he gives us some more thoughts in regard to this. Therefore, the church is subject unto Christ. So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. The husband is to be the leader, but the husband's to lead as he follows Christ. Number two, the husband is to love his wife. What does this love look like? Well, he's to love his wife as his own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. He is to nourish. He's to cherish. This is what it's talking about. This is the love that the husband's supposed to have. Go with me real quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I want us to look at what this type of love looks like. 1 love the husband is to have for the wife is the same love and respect the wife is supposed to have for the husband. It is the same love and respect that the children have to have for the parents and the parents are to have for the children. This is a love that ought to be shown in every believer's life. This is the love that has been given. Charity suffereth long, verse 4, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, and stood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away child's things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I also know. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Husbands, love your wives. Husband, love your wives as you love your own self. What does that mean, to love your wife, to love your own self? It means that you have this idea of protection, of nourishing, of cherishing what God has given you. You see, the husband is the leader, but is to be the spiritual leader, following after God, setting the examples, and setting the example of what biblical love looks like. The husband, the man, ought to set the example what biblical love looks like. That means you and I understand that we are to set that example of loving the way that God loves the church. It says, even as Christ loved the church, you love as God loved the church. How did God love the church? He gave himself for the church. Do you know the type of love you need to have for your wife, your children, and your home? It means that you're willing to give of yourself, even if it means death. It's a sacrificial love that we as men ought to be given. This is talking to the Christian husband. This is talking to the one that wants to strive to be a spiritual leader in the home, the one that wants unity in the home. You are to have love in your home. That means you are to be sacrificial. That means that your wife comes before you. That means your children comes before your needs and your wants. That means you love them with a sacrificial love that you give of yourself for them, because Christ gave himself for you and for me. That's the love that's compared. It's a love that's not seeking our own. It's not a love that's boasting ourselves up. It's not a love that tries to put ourselves in the forefront as the ruler of the home. It is a deep concern and love. It's carrying this idea of cherishing. What does it mean if you cherish something? It means it's precious to you. Now, how many of you ever been in a shop before that there's fine glass and crystal things and stuff that you wish you were never in that shop because you know if you touch it, you will break it? How many have been there? Brian, how many times have you knocked something over and broke it? Okay. Now, how many times you were given something very precious and you give it to a child and you said, here's something very valuable. Be very careful with it. And they hold it. And they love it. You see the twinkle in their eyes. You see the glimmer. Oh, man, this is awesome. And they want to take and they want to show people. And they cherish it and they show everyone. They take it back home. They set it down. And they're very careful with it. They make sure it's clean. They make sure it's taken care of. If someone else walks in the room, they tell them to stay away from it because it's special to them. They see that there's a speck of dust on it and they run over there to take that dust off of it. Because they cherish it. It's something that is vital. It's something that's important to them. It's something that they want to lift up. That is the love the husband is to have for the wife. Do you know if God has given you the blessing of a wife, you're to cherish that gift that God has given you. That gift of a wife, besides the gift of salvation, is one of the most important gifts you've ever been given. The Bible says if we found a wife, we found a good thing. And that wife is to be cherished. And that wife is to be loved, be nurtured, be taken care of, to be protected. Now, yes, preacher, she's supposed to be taken care of because she's the weaker vessel. That's what Scripture says. She's the weaker vessel. And so, because she's a weaker vessel, she needs the big, strong man that I am. And that's why she needs to submit to me, because I'm the strong man. That's not what the Bible's talking about. Get this. You're filled with the Spirit of God. You're filled with the Spirit of God. The wife is going to respond in the right way. The wife responds in the right way when the husband is loving as he should. And the husband is loving as he should when he puts his wife before himself. And his wife does the things that we talked about. And she's the weaker vessel in the sense of this. There are things that God created woman different ways than he created man. Woman thinks different than man. Man thinks different than woman. All right? Ladies have some natural abilities. Men don't. Ladies have a little more compassion most of the time than men do. Men aren't as compassionate. So what? You got a boo-boo. Go and take care of yourself. Let the dog lick it. That's the man's response, right? The mom's response is, oh, darling, I'm so sorry. Let mama give it a little kiss. You got a little boo-boo. Let me give you a little kiss. Mwah, it's all better. Right? We know the difference. The idea is this, where the wife is weak, the husband may have some strengths. Where the husband has some weaks, the wife has some strengths. They come together, they work together, unifying together. The wife's responding in the right way. The husband's loving in the right way. And it brings unity in the home and in the marriage. That's what it's talking about. This is talking about what a spirit-filled home looks like. The husband is to love, to lead. But this is what happens. Go back with Genesis. It said we're going to come to this portion of Scripture. That's why I didn't say much when we read this. Genesis chapter 12. Now, we could spend a lot of time in Ephesians, but a lot of times we've heard a lot of messages in regards to this. This is why I want to give a practical illustration of what we're talking about. Because we know what the wife is supposed to do. We know what we as believers are supposed to do. We know what the husband is supposed to do. But in this portion of Scripture, I want us to see something. We're going to see a husband not loving as he should. We're going to see a wife not responding the way she should. And we're going to see what the results leads to. Look again with me, verse 10. And there was famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn. I want to stop there for a moment. The spiritual leader of the home, the husband, the spiritual leader in the home, is supposed to set the example. It's supposed to lead. Husbands, here this morning, I want you to understand, you have a responsibility to set the example in the home. Do you know what Abram did? Now, Abraham was used of God. Don't get me wrong. Abraham had a lot of good qualities. We see a lot that Abraham did. But we see a point in Abraham's life, just like many of our lives, that we become weak, and instead of depending upon God as we should, we don't depend upon God. Because the Bible says that Abram went down in Egypt, he sojourned. You know what the word sojourn means? He took a side trip. You know why he took a side trip from where God wanted him to be? Because there was famine in the land. There was a problem in the land. They didn't have the food. They didn't have what they needed. So instead of staying put where God has put them, staying where God wanted them to be, he decided to take matters in his own hand. Instead of following God, he went to a different place. Wait. You know what love is for a husband to love his wife and his family? It's not trying to take his family out of the land and sojourn and take a side trip and saying, by faith, we're going to stay where God has put us. By faith, we're going to pray. By faith, we know God's going to supply. By faith, we're going to trust God and lead their family in the right direction. Lead the family in the right way. Lead the family to say, hey, I understand the grass looks greener over here, but I understand this is where God has called us. This is where God has placed us. This is where God wants us in our life. And we're going to stay put no matter the obstacles, no matter what we're facing. Let me tell you, no matter how old you are, and if you've been married or not married, guess what? You're going to have trials in your marriage. You're going to have struggles in your home. You're going to have trials that you come across. You're going to have times that you want to give up. You want to quit. But let me tell you, as the husband in the home, you need to be the spiritual leader and says, we can't quit. We got to keep doing it God's way. We got to be strong. We can't sojourn. We can't take a side trip. We got to stay and do it God's way. But Abram sojourned. He went down to Egypt. Do you know what happens when we take a side trip from God's plan? That's a slippery slope for destruction. Because what happened? He already knew what was going to happen. He knew he had a pretty wife. And he knew his pretty wife was going to get attraction. So he said what? Now, here's a spiritual leader of the home. What does he want? He wants his wife to lie. What type of husband is that? Yeah, now, get this. Again, Abraham was a great man of God. He was a man of faith. We see that. We know he did great things. But this is a weak time in his life, and I want you to see this. Abraham commanded his wife to lie. You know what? If you love your wife, and you're really a spiritual leader in their home, you're never going to try to convince your family to do wrong. You're never going to try to convince your family to go the wrong direction, to be dishonest and do those things. You're never going to tell your kids it's okay to tell a little lie as long as it gains you some success. You're never going to tell your kids to go ahead and just do that and do that. No, you're going to lead your family and you're going to say, I don't know the outcome, but we're going to do truth in this home. We're going to be honest home. We're going to be serving God. We're going to be living for God. But Abram told his wife to lie. Now here's where I want us to see. Sarah did what? She went along with it. I do not believe this is biblical submission. Biblical submission would have been, I love you, Abram. I want to have the right spirit towards you. But with all love, I don't agree with you. See, responding right. Responding right. Now, if he forced her, if he did that, she would have to go along. I understand that. I understand the circumstance. I understand the culture. I understand all that was taking place. I understand all that's happening. What I'm saying is this. Many times we say, well, if I'm dictated to do right, then I have to do it. I'm dictated to do wrong, I have to do it. Well, what did you tell your kids? Well, I had no choice, mom and dad, to do it. And you asked them this question. Does someone stick a gun to your head? Isn't that what we ask the kids? Wait a second. Why does it change when it's different? Now, I understand we need to submit. I understand we need to respond in the right way. I understand that we need not to be angry and handle things in the wrong way. But I do understand this, that responding in a spirit-filled way is to keep following Christ and putting Christ above everything. Now, what happened? Abram didn't love as he should. Sarah didn't respond the way she should. And what happened? It caused problems in the kingdom. And then what happened? The king was mad, right? He says, what are you doing to me? You almost put me in a big problem in my life. Do you know if we're not doing things right in our marriage, in our homes, it doesn't just affect us, it affects others? Do you know it's going to affect your kids? Well, preacher, this is the culture we live in, And you know what? The traditional home, the way that God established it, is out the window, and we got to start doing things differently. No. God's way still works. The problem is, Abram did wrong, and that was going to cause problems that was going to affect this nation, was going to affect them. A lot of times we think we can do whatever we want in the home. It's not going to affect anything. You know who it affects? It affects our kids. It could even affect our neighbors. It can affect our coworkers. It can affect our community. And it affects our church. Why? Because what Paul was saying to the church in Ephesus, you have to have a strong nucleus of a home, because that will affect the effect of how this church affects this community and what this church does, what these individual believers do. We need to come together so we have the right spirit in our lives. But Abram didn't show the love, didn't show that what he should. And what example there. Go back to Ephesians there. Now, 1 Corinthians, we could preach a whole message. We could preach a whole message back in Genesis. Preach a whole message in Ephesians. But I'm trying to get you some thoughts here. And then let's put this all together. Because we see what the believer is supposed to do. We see what the wife is supposed to do. We see what the husband is supposed to do. But verses 30 through 33 combine things. It goes over things and it combines it and it brings it together. Paul was a good preacher. He gave his points. He repeated his points. And then he repeated his points. And then he repeated his points. You know what's interesting? The reason he has to do it? Because what happens? We don't get it, right? Look at verse 30, verse 33. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined in his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is the great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. He's talking about coming together, a unity that's there. But look at this. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and that wife see that she reverence her husband. Love your wife as yourself. Husbands, one last piece of advice that Paul has given them. Love your wife as you love yourself. Well, you know what? Most guys love themselves. Did you know that? Especially when they were young. Now, some of you, you were kind of like Rich in the young days. You had a full set of hair. What color is your hair, Rich? He had this brown, flowy hair. And Rich, in the day, had muscles. And you know what Rich liked to do in that day? He loved himself so much, he would love to look at himself in the mirror. And he would even flex in front of the mirror to see his muscles. He loved himself so much that he made sure everything was just perfect. And when he would use, back in that day, they didn't use hair gel. They used grease, all right? You remember the grease days. And Rich would take a whole can of grease and grease his hair back. And it was this smooth-looking hair. He would put on his black leather coat. And he would put on his jeans that were rolled up to the knees, you know, the big white walls, and they put the jeans in that day. And then he wore those white tube socks, and he put those all the way up. And he was set for the day. What are you laughing at? You dress that way too. And they would go, and he made sure he loved himself, that he took care. How many remember your first car? It was not the greatest car in the world, but it was your first car. What did you do that first car? You waxed it. You washed it. You wouldn't even take it to a car wash because you didn't want the bristles of that to scratch your car. And I tell you, you were out there every day with a toothbrush cleaning the in between the tires and in the rims and that. And I tell you, you would spit shine the whole thing because it was precious to you. Husbands, love your wives as you love yourselves. Cherish them. Love them. Nurture them. Wives, reverence your husband. Submit. That word reverence carries the idea of this same idea of submitting unto the Lord, of responding the right way. Have a love, mutual love, back to your husband. You know what that looks like? Even if your husband's not perfect, because your husband's not, you still love your husband. Even if your husband doesn't love you. Did you get that? Wives loving their husbands. Some of the wives are saying, hey, I thought we got picked on last week. Why are you picking us again? Because Paul did it, so I have to. Wives, love your husbands, even if your husbands are not the spiritual leader. Wives, reverence your husband. If you're going to be spirit-filled, if you're going to live in that way, love your husbands with a godly love and respond pleasing God. We are to come together as a family unit. Next week it's going to address the kids. It's going to address servants. But we're to come together as a family unit with proper love in the home. Do you know if we're going to submit, if we're going to reverence, if we're going to be the leader, it all has to do with love. You know where that love comes from and where it stems from? It's the love God gives us as we surrender our wills to His and love God. I'm going to be a spirit-filled husband. I'm going to be a spirit-filled wife. I'm going to be a spirit-filled child if I love God the way I ought to love God. I'm going to love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my might. No matter who you are this morning, love God first and foremost of your life. And when you love God the way you should, everything else is going to fall into place. You're going to reverence, you're going to love, you're going to respect, you're going to do everything if you love God the way you should. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It has to do with loving God. Preacher, what do I do? I'm in a situation where my husband, my wife, aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. You know what you do? Do what you're supposed to do. Wait, my husband is not a kind soul. And I'm still supposed to, yeah, you're still supposed to do what you're supposed to do. Wait, my wife's not doing what she should. She's not responding the way. What do I do? You keep being the husband you're supposed to be. You keep being the wife you're supposed to be doing. Well, and we'll hit this next week too, but my parents aren't the type of parents they're supposed to be. You, as a child, keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. We are called, each of us, to fulfill and do what God wants us to do in our lives. No matter what the other person is doing, no matter those things, we are to do it, and we're to live it. One quick other piece of advice. Some of our people are younger and they have not gotten to that place of marriage yet. And some are older are still maybe looking for that person of marriage. Let me tell you this. No matter if you're a husband or a guy or a gal, and you're looking and someday you want marriage and you're going to get married, you're going to do that, stop looking. Did you hear me? Stop looking and start praying. Pray that God will show you and God will lead you to the one he wants you to put you together with. Because if God wants you married and God has somebody for you that lines up with his will for your life, and you pray about it, God will bring that person across your path. And that person that comes across your path is going to line up with what the Bible says that a wife ought to be and a husband ought to be. Doesn't mean your marriage is going to be perfect. Doesn't mean you're never going to have disagreements. Never means, no. But it means God's going to bring across a person that is striving to be this. And what God joins together, let no man put asunder. God will bring that unity together in the home and in the marriage. Let's strive, each of us strive, to be what God would have us to be in regards to the husband, regards to the wife. And next week, we get to hit the children. And some of you are going to come back and invite others because we get to pick on the children next week. But let's strive to live for God.